My sister-in-law told me that in the Church of England, it's customary for a priest, when they're visiting someone in their home and they're sick, to say, "Peace to this house," as they arrive. It seems like a nice idea, and I thought that I might do the same, but you know, I've never actually managed it. Even when I remembered it, somehow it seemed a bit lame or pretentious, as if maybe I didn't have the authority to offer peace. But that doesn't seem to have been a problem for the disciples, not just the inner circle, but 70 or even 72 of them. That's a bit like everyone who comes to this church on a fairly regular basis, going out on mission. Everyone being sent out in pairs to say, "Peace to this house," and not just to mumble it, but to say it with authority, to say it with the authority of the one who is coming, the one who we are proclaiming, the Christ himself. And I have been wondering whether it would make a difference to say, "Peace to this house," when I visit someone, anyone, even if they are sick or not. But then I often meet with people at coffee shops. So would I extend it to Starbucks or Nautical Bean? Maybe so. If I felt I had the authority of the Christ to pronounce peace, why wouldn't I? I suspect that my reticence to declare peace is connected to a reticence many of us have about proclaiming the reign of God. In fact, it may be the same thing, because what is the reign of God but the reign of peace? When others proclaim loudly that the reign of God is one where the health of women can be disregarded, that personal rights are not upheld by our constitution, that we can disregard the health of the planet because corporate profits are more important, or that owning assault weapons is biblically supported, it is difficult. It is difficult for us to say otherwise. We don't want to be associated with that kind of thinking, and so we tend to feel uncomfortable about even mentioning the reign of God in case we are misunderstood, or in case we stir up a hornet's nest of anger. Jesus knew that declaring peace wouldn't always be easy. He said, "If anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person, but if not, it will return to you. Peace is not lost because it is not received or welcomed. A blessing of peace continues to be a blessing." Occasionally we sing hymn 661, which starts, "They cast their nets in Galilee." I love this hymn, and I love it for the last verse. "The peace of God, it is no peace, but strife closed in the sod. Yet let us pray for but one thing, the marvelous peace of God." I love the way this encapsulates so simply the tremendous paradox of God's peace. No one reading the Gospels or the Acts of the Apostles could possibly imagine that following Jesus is a peaceful, quiet existence of being in the zone, without pain, struggle, suffering, or strife. After all, Jesus was crucified. And as far as we know, most of the 12 also came to rather nasty, painful deaths. The peace of God is something else. The peace of God transcends all the horrors of this life. The peace of God is not threatened by the roaring of the patriarchy. The peace of God encourages and empowers us to move forward, to continue in whatever way we can to work for the reign of God, the peaceable kingdom. Jesus said, "I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves." This is not encouraging. Lambs don't typically last long in a pack of wolves. Remember that Jesus himself was called the Lamb of God. So Jesus is telling us to imitate him, to be innocent and open to what comes, perhaps even joyful. This great picture of some lambs playing in the spring, filled with energy and excitement and ready for anything. Yes, the peace of God is no peace, but deep struggle. Strife closed in the sod, And yet it is a marvelous thing. And it is ours. I don't know if you caught it in the reading from Galatians, but Paul reminds us that we are a new creation. He wrote, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. This is part of his ongoing conversation about racism in the early church. He could have written, for neither black nor white is anything, for neither Asian nor Latino is anything, but a new creation is everything. We are part of the new creation, and we know that at some point the old will pass away. The corporations and institutions of this world will pass away. Yes, even the Supreme Court, and even the church in its present form. In fact, it is already passing away, and the new is being born in the midst of us. This is our truth, people of God. The new creation is here and now, and the new creation is one of peace and justice, the reign of peace, the kingdom of love. But just a quick sidebar. What did you think of that first reading that Carol read us from Isaiah, where we have a brief glimpse of the Great Mother? Isaiah dreams of a time when there will be peace in war-torn Jerusalem, and peace will be so complete that it will be like sitting on the lap of the Great Mother herself. What a lovely and unusual image of God's peace, God's shalom. But isn't that the peace that we long for, rather than the strife in the sod kind? Maybe we can have both. Sitting on the Great Mother's knee in meditation, and then using that strength in our activism as we confront the pain of this as yet unhealed world. But now let's go back to declaring peace to this house. Peace to Starbucks, peace to Ashendo, peace to Nautical Bean. Why not? Why don't we experiment? Why don't we see what happens if everywhere we go, we offer a blessing of God's peace? Peace to Ralph's, peace to the grocery outlet or the dollar store. In this digital age, perhaps, peace to Facebook, peace to CNN, peace to Fox News. Jesus has given us the authority to declare God's peace. What, my friends, does this world need more than God's grace and God's peace? So why would we hold back? Why would we be diffident? We don't need to find our opponents and attack them. We just declare the blessing of God's peace. And as Jesus said, if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Imagine how powerful it could be if all of us, those of us who are here, those who are joining from home, and the others who make up our core community, if all 70 or so of us were to consciously and intentionally declare God's reign by blessing every place, every interaction with God's peace. How would it be if every time we open our email server, check our texts, look at Facebook or Instagram, we first declare a blessing of God's peace? If nothing else, our peace would return to us, and that might be life-changing in and of itself. Because the blessing of God's peace is never wasted, and it is ours, people of God, it is ours to give with the authority that comes from being part of the body of Christ, from being the disciples of Jesus himself. So let us start this very morning. As in a few minutes we greet one another with peace, let us practice doing it intentionally and with the authority that Jesus gives us.